I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ira Windsman. Ira, you hear us okay?
Yeah, I'm hearing you fine. For me, it's business as usual.
There we go. I hear you good. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. Ira, I'm in my bedroom here. Where are you right now? What are you wearing?
You know what? I always do these interviews unless I'm in the road in my home office. So I sort of have the whole thing set up here. I have every story I have ever written about the Heat in a bunch of binders, my NBA guides, pretty much status quo for me. I mean, I've been working from home, except on game nights, probably for 30-plus years right now. So as you know, when the children are younger, it's a little bit of a different life, you know, keeping everyone happy at the same time. But for me, sort of business as usual, except without actual bouncing basketballs.
All right, well, I'm into this now, okay? Everything sounds very normal right now because I don't know myself. We were having some issues in the first hour where I'm hearing myself echoing in my headphones. That's not the case anymore. So we're trying to figure it out now in Amber's end, and we'll be all back to 100%. But let's do a little bit of NBA.
Sure.
Let's do a little bit of basketball here. The first thing I want to ask you, you know, if you remember during the NFL lockout a few years ago where you kind of had Robert Kraft at the forefront. He seemed like the leader. Like, he was the one who was stepping up. He was taking charge and trying to help everything get going again. And then eventually they came to an agreement. And Robert Kraft really seemed like the top guy. I'm kind of getting that sense right now with Mark Cuban.
Okay? Yes.
Now, I understand Cuban is very active, social media and all that. We know he's out there. But, you know, I see one of the headlines right now on ESPN.com, Cuban hopeful for mid-May. Mm-hmm. NBA return. Am I right about that sense that Cuban seems to be kind of taking the bull by the horns and he's at the forefront of getting this thing going again?
Yeah, Zaz, I think you were absolutely spot on that. A couple of factors come into play. I mean, we're in a different sort of time in our society, even before coronavirus, and it seems to sort of be powerful in sports. You have to have a sports presence, which Mark Cuban, of course, has had for years with his Dallas Mavericks, as much as we hate to say his champion Dallas Mavericks. You have to have that. You have to have the social media component. He's always been very good with that. He's always been out there. He has his own platforms. He's on Twitter, so he's there also. And it's almost like you have to have a game show television presence. I mean, that's how our president got elected to a degree with his show, The Apprentice. And, of course, we see Mark Cuban on TV regularly, whether it's on NBC or MSNBC, with his show also with Shark Tank. So I think he sort of fills all the boxes of the modern leadership, you know, element anyway. So I think it is Mark Cuban. I think he might be being a little bit overly optimistic, but you know what? He understands all the elements. He understands the sports element, he understands the political element, and he understands the television element. And I know this is hard for you and for Heat fans to sort of rally behind Mark Cuban, but I totally agree. I think he is the face of getting this thing turned around and sort of serving as an intermediary between the government officials and the NBA and sort of assisting Adam Silver in that respect. I do agree, Zaz.
Yeah, that's how it reads to me. Whenever the league gets going again, okay, mid-May, maybe it's June, whatever it is, which are we more likely to see? Are we more likely to see teams and players as healthy as they've ever been headed into the postseason because they have this time off to get right, or are they going to be out of shape because they're not allowed in their team facilities right now? Local gyms aren't open. Not every player's got, you know, the personal home setup that the, you know, a guy like LeBron James likely has in his home. So which scenario are we more likely to see? Players who are healthy and rested and ready to go, or players out of shape?
I think there's two things. I think players will be healthier, quote unquote. In other words, for the Heat, whether it's a Tyler Hero with the ankle or Myers Leonard with the ankle, I think anyone who had an injury will be in a better place because there is nothing better for an injury than time off. I think because this is such a conditioning league, because this is such an aerobic league, I don't think you can replicate that no matter how great a home gym LeBron James or other players have. You need to get back out on the court. And that's going to be the interesting part. How long is that period? Would it be a two-week period? Zaz, will we even have 2 weeks to make it work in that time frame? So I think the league has to put that in. You will not see the highest quality of NBA basketball. You simply won't, because you have a few factors there. One, the conditioning you mentioned. Two, the coronavirus is not going to just disappear. So it still will be a threat. There still will be players getting ill. And I want to bring a third factor into that equation, and that's the emotional and mental challenges also. And I don't know if you had a chance to see the story today, but look at a player like Karl Anthony Towns. His mother now is in a coma because of coronavirus on a respirator, and his father has just has been tested as well. So you have to wonder about the mental state of a player. I mean, let me ask you this. Let's say Minnesota, which they're not, was in the playoff hunt, okay? And Karl Anthony Towns was going through this horrible situation. As a fan, I assume, Zaz, you would not begrudge him if he chose not to play, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if the playoffs were going on right now, like if we were a couple months from now and the league started up again and Karl Anthony Towns, his mother's in a coma, I mean, you know, and if his team were in the playoffs, which we know they wouldn't be, I can't imagine he plays. I really can't.
Right. No, nor would you expect him. And here's part B of it also is, you know, I mean, just because of the odds and the percentages, no matter where you stand on this as far as getting back to work or not, players do get sick. We have seen players miss playoff games because of illness beyond even injuries. So then you're going to get into this point also of, I think the reason the league wants to keep playing is it wants to have a champion. It doesn't want to be like Major League Baseball. I think the strike year, I mentioned in my Ask Ira today, was 1994 when there was no champion, no World Series. You look at the record book, there's nothing there. So I think the NBA wants that continuity and that closure. But at what point, if players start missing from the equation, and I spoke to you and Amber about this last week also, is it really a playoff if Giannis Antetokounmpo takes ill or LeBron James? So I think that's the real tough call for Adam Silver also. Can he assure himself of a healthy player base to have something that at least comes off as legitimate?
I feel bad for the fans, because can you imagine? I mean, let's just say this. Let's say we go back to 2006, okay? The Heat have never won an NBA championship, and they win their first ever championship with no fans in the building. I'm sorry. Yeah. If you're a Heat fan, that does not feel the same. That's not what you expected.
And think about the part after that, because I know you were part of the broadcast also. Obviously, no parade. Obviously, the last thing you were going to do, you remember what it was like on Biscayne Boulevard, how hot it was and the parade route and how jammed it was also, is you lose that part of it also. But I guess I think what we have to wrap our heads around, Zaz, is this. This is the new normal. It's going to be the new normal for weeks and months, and we know that. So I think he sort of accepted and move on. There were a lot of people, Zaz, before they canceled it, who were totally fine with an NCAA tournament without fans because they still wanted to watch their school. They still wanted to have their bracket. They wanted to be part of it. So will it be 100% of the real fan base experience? Absolutely not. But Zaz, you're like me, and I talk into my remote. I have Comcast, and I say the word sports every night as if I magically expect something to appear, and it's not. Zaz, wouldn't you take games without fans to at least have games?
Yes. Yes, of course. And I think that's why you've had some people, I think Mark Cuban has talked about this as well, where you do have some people who are like, listen, you know, this is a pandemic and things are dangerous right now, but it's also important to help the general public get going again, to have them be able to watch sports and enjoy their life. Like there is an element of that where, you know, if we can get the teams out there in a safe fashion, even with no fans, that helps toward the general healing for our country.
Yeah, that's a mental health factor. Sports is part of our psyche. Sports is part of our culture. Sports will keep our marriages together instead of watching some of the other stuff we're watching with our wives. So, yeah, I think it's important, but there has to be perspective. The president is talking about how the economy matters as much, you know, as what's going on. Other people will talk about sports. We're still not close to that point yet. But, yeah, if I have to take my sports without fans in the building, I mean, I did an interview the other day with Mark Jones of ESPN, and he said, how odd will it be for the announcers who are in the building to call the game when the players can hear them? And as Mark Jones said, here I'm going to be saying LeBron's got to improve his 69% free throw shooting. How odd would it be if LeBron turns to his left at the line and goes, I'm trying, man, I'm trying. So this is going to be the new normal and a new real for so many people involved.
I'll tell you, I never thought about that, because I'll tell you what, like, I'll be doing my post-game show from the arena, and I'm on the air about 40, 45 minutes after the game ends, and I'm doing my thing, and you still got some players who are hanging around on the floor area, the first few rows, the lower level, and they're meeting up with fans or family members or whatever, and I'm talking about the game, and they can hear what I'm saying, okay, and I'm sitting at the top of the lower level, okay. And you're talking about broadcasters who are on the floor while the game is going on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Ira, I wouldn't love that if I'm a broadcaster. I don't like that setup.
No, it's again, the whole dynamic is different. Even the referees who want to have discussions with players, where the fan noise and the drone of the effects sort of muffle that out, will they feel as comfortable doing it? I mean, look, we see Eric Spoelstra going through contortions at times when the right play isn't run, and I assume there's some interesting language there involved also. Well, in a quiet building, if you're going to have those effects mics on the floor picking that up also, that's going to be a different experience also. That's the thing is, none of us have an idea of what this is going to look like. And it's not like the NBA can put its game in a studio for a trial run. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the perfect example because I know you're watching this like me. You've been watching some of the wrestling in the last couple of weeks, haven't you?
Yeah.
How odd is it at the Performance Center with no noise and nothing in the background?
Yes,
that,
it's weird.
Doesn't it seem like it seems like a different sport, correct?
It is strange, yes. Especially the first few times that you're watching it, it's a bit jarring, yeah. And I imagine that's exactly what it'll be like when you're watching basketball. It will be jarring.
Right. So yes, I think it'll be jarring the first few times, and then you get used to it, and then you'll see it for what it is, at least an attempt to bring the sport back. Again, yeah. We're a while away from that. The player's probably going to wind up losing some money in their April 15th paycheck. They'll have to work with the players' union. But I think right now everyone wants to get it back, and I think they will push it. I mean, this is not me talking. This is everyone else saying as far as through Labor Day if they have to. But I think they also have to say, hey, this is a health issue primarily, including for our players. Let's get that part of the equation figured out first. Then we'll go to part B, C, and D and work from there.
Finally here, Ira, how do we think it's going to affect the start of the next season?
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, Adam Silver's been very forward-thinking. We've had for years the talk about not starting a season until Christmas. I don't think in these uncertain economic times you can go out and change your entire blueprint. In other words, remember the old XFL, USFL, tried to go back and compete directly with the NFL, change their schedule, they disappeared. I think something that dramatic, which eventually will come, will be more down the road. So I think the NBA might push back the start of next season, might eliminate the 2021 exhibition season, but I think they want to keep on their calendar, at least in the short run, because I don't think in uncertain economic times you also make drastic changes. So I think even if the finals are on Labor Day, I still think they want to try something in November to stay on a regular schedule for now, make the dramatic change at less dramatic times.
All right, Ira, good job. Thanks a lot. We appreciate you.
All right, good luck with the show with Amber. Thanks, Zaz.
All right, that's Ira Windsman right there, Sun Sentinel checking in. Boy, I never thought about that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.